Good morning again, and welcome back to our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike to tell you along with Herb Tyler, and we will return to, as the commercial said, to our post-game show. We'll be at 4 o'clock this afternoon from Acme Oyster House, and we want to thank MAP Construction for being our presenting sponsor. Herbert talked a little bit about it, but the development of Kyren Lacy, and I know this offseason before fall camp, I talked to him, and he's like, I'm ready. He said, I'm ready to be the guy. And I said, well, you just be ready to get double coverage. And he just started to laugh. He said, I get it. He said, because I saw it, you know, I saw it for 2 years with Malik and how teams were basically trying to stop him. And I think the first 2 weeks, if there was any question about who your number one guy is, yeah, no question anymore, it's Kyren. When they need something, they go to Kyren Lacy.
Yeah, so you go back to last year, right, and you remember Kyren having a few, what I like to call significant drops throughout the season. I just remember Neighbors and Brian Thomas Jr. catching any and everything that you can think of, and Kyren was going to be that number three guy that everybody would say, okay, he's going to be the number one going into the season this year in 2024. And I just remember one game, I forget who they were playing, but he dropped the ball, and he was so upset, and I could see the agony and the pain.
Texas A&M.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah, because he talked to me about it. He said, it still bothers me today. I said, man, shrug that off. You know, you got to move on with it. But he remembered that drop.
Yeah, and I remember it because I remember I know what it felt like to feel like you've let your team down and on one play, basically. But here's the thing. You turn around and you look at what he's done this the start of this season, and he may not be over it as far as it may still be in his head, but he's forgotten about it, and he's turned the switch on, and he's catching any and everything. Now, it doesn't look the same as, you know, Malik Neighbors or Brian Thomas Jr., and also, you know, it doesn't look like Jordan Jefferson or any of those guys either, as well as who we think a typical LSU receiver should look like. But he looks daggone good. I'm going to tell you that right now. You know, in this season right now, he's got 12 catches, 159 yards with four touchdowns. He is the guy. He's the guy that Gus Nussmeier looks for every, you know, when it's time to look for him. Now, I will say this, though. Against USC, he kind of went non-existent. And I don't think it was because of him. And I don't think it was because of Nussmeier. I just think it was scheme. After the first quarter, they didn't try to get the ball to him enough, in my opinion. But to get back to who he is today, he is definitely the number one guy. And he's going to need some help from one of those other young pups that's coming up to be able to help with just taking the eyes completely off of him. I think Aaron Anderson is doing a great job of playing a role that he's playing. He's really coming to his own. I think Chris Hilton, whenever he gets an opportunity to really play, get on the field, I think it's going to be crazy. Xavier Thomas is a person who is the team is really looking forward to kind of add a little spark and be a little change of pace guy, if you will. And he's doing a phenomenal job as well. And we got to get the tight ends involved to help out Kyren Lacy in order so he can really do what he does. But at the end of the day, if they need a play, just throw the ball to him. He's going to come down with it. And that's what I've seen over the course of the past two games. So I'm really excited about Kyren's play.
Oh, yeah, so am I. And, man, I remember watching him, you know, at Thibodaux High School as a basketball player. If he got coin out there and he said, let's play a pickup game, you better put that money back in your pocket because he can flat out play. He's really, really good. I think the disappointment was, and we talked about it last week, Brian Kelly brought it up twice in the press conference about he wanted to see more of Shelton Sampson. And yet you saw him make mistakes on the field. And if you could read Brian Kelly's lips real good on that, hey, do you want to play or not? You tell me, do you want to play or not? And that's just mental mistakes that Sampson's making out on the field.
You know, when it comes to that, I don't know the kid, and I think that I just remember when I was in it and doing it and all those things, the mental mistakes was really because of trying to overcomplicate what the situation is, right?
It's just
football. It's just running ins and outs and stops and goes, you know, basically in slants, right? It's just how do you get there, and then when do you need to be there, right? And where are you coming from? So sometimes you just got to simplify it for them. Hey, Shelton, get at the X and just run a go route. That's it. Just run a go and throw it to him. That's it. You know, we don't need it. It don't need to be motion. It doesn't need to be X, you know, 35 slant cross D jump over your mama. It don't need to be all of that, right? It just needs to be, hey, Shelton, get at the X and run a go route, run a post, run a comeback, or run a simple out route, whatever it is, right? And how about we put it, make it as simple as possible for him if the scheme is, you know, too complicated for him. And it may be right now just because he's young, or maybe he's in a different headspace. But I do know this. If he can't be in the right place at the right time on the field, he's not going to play. So Coach Kelly said it as best as anybody could. Do you want to play?
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
The other thing, too, is in South Carolina, and they got a dynamic duo that can come off the edge. And, man, they caused all kind of problems for Kentucky. But if you watch the game film on that, They had receivers for Kentucky that were open. The problem was they couldn't get it to them because the two guys were coming off the edge so much. Now you go up against LSU, and the one thing that has played well this year has been pass protection. And we talked about this in Sports Talk. You can see Garrett Nussmeier back there. That's not a lot of people around him. They doing a really good job in pass protection. It's just that they can't run block real well. If they can neutralize the two edge guys, I think you're going to have a shot to really put up some pretty big numbers against the Wildcats throwing the football. Now, I don't know if they can run it. But I do know one thing, and watching that game film, man, those corners were in the reverse position. It looked good because the two edge guys seemed to be in the backfield more than the halfback for Kentucky last week. So I would expect another big game from Garrett Nussmeier today.
Yeah, so, you know, you go to South Carolina and you look at their edge rushers, Dylan Stewart and Kyle Kennard, those guys are really good. This year they each have over 2.5 sacks. So Stewart has 2.5 and Kennard has 3.5. Those guys are doing what they're supposed to do. They're getting to the quarterback, and that's that puts a strain on the back end of your defense, safeties, and cornerbacks. But it makes it easier for them. Those guys doesn't have to. I mean, they're like, okay, they're going to get in the backfield, they're going to make a sack, or they're going to really interrupt the passer, and it'll make it easier for the DBs to make a play. Well, here's the thing: the kicker with LSU, you're going up against two of the best offensive tackles in the country, and so this is going to be a really great test for those two guys. We're going to see exactly who they are and what they're made of. I know they're tough as nails, and I know they're competitive, and I know they talk a lot of trash. So it's going to be fun to watch those that game inside the game, or the battle inside the game on those two edges, and see how that looks. Now, we're going to see if they can handle any kind of stunts or anything like that South Carolina may bring to them to try to alleviate trying to get past those two outstanding bookends on each side as far as the two tackles are concerned. So that's going to be interesting to see. And it's also going to be interesting to see how do you combat a good rushing defense, right? Screen plays, you know. Hit, letting them come in and get past everybody, and then dumping the ball over the head and gaining some big time yards. So we'll see what kind of scheme the offensive coaches come up with and game plan this week that's going to combat that and help that offensive line, as well as help Nussmeier not stand in the face of just guys that are ready to tee off on him. So it's going to be interesting to see, and it's going to be fun to watch.
You know, one of the things in talking to Pat Swilling, we've had him on Sports Talk so many times, and Pat said the worst thing, man, I love to rush the quarterback so much, but the thing that slowed me down, they run the football right at me.
Right at him, yep.
Okay, mm-hmm. And that takes a little bit of your aggression to get up the field out of the window, because you're so focused on trying to be a pass rusher, and then they get physical with you, then you're not quite as aggressive coming off the snap, the next snap, when they might throw the football. So that slows down a pass rusher more than anything when they run right at you.